Our first scripture reading comes from Acts chapter 4. Listen for God's word. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need.
Our second lesson comes from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. Let's listen for the word of God. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The word of God for the people of God. So Jesus said, "Peace be with you." He probably said, "Shalom." Shalom is the traditional Hebrew-Jewish greeting, and it's like hello, goodbye. But shalom means even more than peace. In Hebrew, shalom shares its root with words that mean prosperity, completeness, safety. Shalom is a complete peace. So picture the scene in John's story. When it was evening that day, the first day of the week, now, John's talking about Easter evening. And the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Which Jews? Let's be very clear here. Jerusalem was an occupied city. The Roman occupiers allowed the Jews to govern themselves, probably very reluctantly. And Jesus was seen as a huge threat to the Roman oppressors. So the Romans arranged to have Jesus crucified using the Jewish authority. After all, Jesus was Jewish, the apostles were Jewish, and early Christians were Jewish. As one preacher commented, and I'm quoting, "Since the disciples themselves are Jews, of course the statement cannot mean that they're afraid of Jews in general, and they are likely afraid for their own lives, afraid of their uncertain futures." And maybe they're even a little bit afraid of Jesus. These weren't the bravest friends Jesus ever had. And now he's come back, and they may be a little bit concerned about his reaction. It was Mary Magdalene who went to the tomb in the Easter morning, and she's the one who saw someone that she thought was the gardener who turned out to be Jesus, and she's the one who came back and told the apostles, "I have seen the Lord." So they're sitting behind locked doors, afraid. Imagine for a moment that you're sitting there with them. The events of the past few days are very hard for them to process. And let's face it, they're hard for us to process too. And many of us have lived through many Easter, Lent and Easter seasons. And then, John tells us, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Shalom." The door is locked. The disciples are trying to figure out what to do next. And Jesus walks in and says, "Peace be with you." And then Jesus goes on and says, "As my Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I think that's my favorite verse. He breathed on them. Can you imagine being that close to Jesus that he breathed on you? That he looked into your eyes, saw you and knew you, and breathed on you? Jesus is bringing these apostles gifts. The gifts of the Holy Spirit and the gift of shalom. Gifts the apostles need, since this group is anything but peaceful. And the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. You want to bet they said, "Oh, good, Jesus is here. We don't have to worry anymore. And, oh, he'll tell us what to do. And, oh, the events of the past couple of days, they've just been a bad dream. It's been a nightmare." They probably thought something like that. That's not how the story turns out. We know that, but they don't. And Thomas wasn't with them. And when he's told that they've seen Jesus, he has pretty strong doubts. You know how it goes. A friend says, "You have to eat at this great restaurant." Or, "You must see this fabulous movie." Or maybe it's something different like, "I have the best cure for arthritis." Or, "You can't sleep at night, you should take such and so," right? And you might think, "Yeah, that's great for you." But it may not work for me. I doubt it. Now, of course, this is much bigger. This is about the resurrected Jesus. But let's face it, don't we all doubt at some point? For me, doubt is the companion of faith. Augustine said, "Why wonder that you do not understand? For if you understood, it is not God." If you understood, it's not God. That's sort of how I feel about my doubts. To me, a lot of my faith is a mystery. So, John doesn't tell us much about what Jesus did after the resurrection. But we do know that the next week, Jesus came back to the same place, and the disciples were there in the same house. The door shut. John doesn't say it's locked this time, so maybe they're not as afraid. The door is shut. An entire week has gone by, and Jesus again came and stood among them and said, "Shalom." It's almost as if Jesus said, "Okay, if Thomas has to see me, I'll show up. If I have to convince him, you know, okay, this is what I'll do." Because he goes right to Thomas and says to him, "Put your hand in my," right? Right to Thomas. And then, of course, Thomas sees and he believes and he says, "My Lord, my God." And we all know the closing line, right? "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Notice it doesn't say we believe immediately, which I think is an important point. Even if it takes some time, we have not seen, but we have come to believe. That gives me some comfort and hope. So Jesus is giving his disciples two great Easter gifts, the gift of the Holy Spirit and the gift of peace. And Jesus is giving us those gifts too. That's what makes us Easter people. Peace. Who doesn't want peace? And I'm not talking about the absence of war. I'm talking about real abiding peace. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding. The sense of completeness, of safety, of unconditional love. The idea that someone has your back. The sense of shalom. And to be given that gift when we're afraid, when we don't know what's next, when the future is uncertain. And let's face it, the future is always uncertain, right? Now, I want you to notice the cross over my head. Jesus isn't on that cross. That is the cross of the resurrected Jesus. That cross represents our theology and our understanding of Christ. And that makes us an Easter people. Well, what does it mean to be an Easter people? We get a glimpse of that in the piece that Chip read about Acts. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Let me digress for a moment and put these two lectionary readings in some context. Our second reading came from the book of John, which, if you think about the Bible, we have John and then we have Acts. And John was written somewhere between 70 and 130 in the Common Era. So that means that John is writing pretty much 40 years after Christ has been resurrected. And the author of this gospel, we weren't there, we didn't get to see this, so the author of this gospel wants to make sure that we know that Jesus is God. The last line of our reading today says, "But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name." So that's John's purpose. The Acts of the Apostles was also written somewhere around that same time. But this is to provide us with a history of the early church. And in the very first chapter of Acts, which we didn't read, we learn that Jesus appeared to the apostles frequently in the 40 days between the time he was resurrected and the time he ascended into heaven. And by the way, Jesus ascends to heaven in the 11th verse of the first chapter of Acts. So he's there and he's gone. So if the apostles had hoped he was going to stick around and help them out, that didn't happen, right? So in these first couple of chapters, we see this new community trying to come together. Jesus is gone. They're all that's left. Now remember, they were pretty scared behind those locked doors. And so what do? They come together and they pray. And they pray often. And in the verse right before the one that Chip read, verse 31, when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. These are the same apostles who were afraid before. I think it's an interesting story. Remember, Jesus left them with the gift of the Holy Spirit, and they are taking advantage of that gift. And how did they behave after this? There was not a needy person among them. So God's kingdom was being realized on earth. The community expected that Jesus would come back and come back soon, and they wanted to live into this new kingdom. They were transformed. They became an Easter people. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And because of that resurrection, there was not a needy person among them. Now, their transformation lasted for some time. Not forever, but for some time. And we know it didn't last forever because when we read Paul's letters to the various churches, we see that pretty soon there were problems. There were problems in Corinth. There were problems in Rome. There were problems in Thessalonica. Each church had its issues, but they started that. And I can understand. A friend of mine likes to say, anybody can pitch for one inning. It takes real stamina to pitch for 9 innings. Ever train for a long race? Start a big project? Try to replace a bad habit with a good one? Maybe that was your 40 days of Lent. We start out with such enthusiasm, and then it's hard to keep the faith. It's hard to be an Easter people as we get further and further from the resurrection. It's hard to be an Easter people as we get further and further from Easter. It's hard to practice resurrection. Practicing resurrection is a life's work. Wendell Berry suggests that in his poem, Manifesto, The Mad Farmer Liberation Front. It's a very long poem. I'm not going to read you the whole thing, but I'm going to read you a couple of verses. I think they speak exactly to our struggle to be an Easter people. So, friends, every day do something that won't compute. Love the Lord. Love the world. Work for nothing. Take all that you have and be poor. Love someone who does not deserve it. Give your approval to all you cannot understand. Practice ignorance, for what man has not encountered, he has not destroyed. Expect the end of the world. Laugh. Laughter is immeasurable. Be joyful, though you have considered all the facts. As soon as the generals and politicos can predict the motions of your mind, lose it. Leave it as a sign to mark the false trail, the way you didn't go. Be like the fox who makes more tracks than necessary, some in the wrong direction. Practice resurrection. And may we learn how to practice resurrection. May we really become an Easter people. Amen.